Announcements. Always our Bible studies Sunday morning and Wednesday evening, prayer time as well. You all have your bulletin, you know your times. Also Thursday, choir practice, 6:30 to 8.
Even if you just want to come to praise while we're practicing, that works too, you know.
Okay, yeah, so come and praise the Lord on Thursday night, 6:30.
Good suggestion. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
That'll work.
We have a lot going on in March. We're going to have the St. Patrick's corned beef dinner on the 17th of March from 4 to 6 p.m. So we will be preparing the day before at 1 p.m. So bring your favorite peeler because lots of potatoes. Right? Yeah. Maundy Thursday service is March 29th at 7 p.m. here. Then Good Friday is March 30th. Friday in Brimfield at the Congregational Church. April 1st, sunrise service at 6 a.m. Is that it going to be at the same place?
Yep, yep. Dakota's Old Beach. Only because I don't remember the new people's last name. Right. The beach hasn't moved. Go to the same spot on the beach, right on 19. We'll be the only people out at 6 o'clock in the morning. Lining the shores.
Except the geese. We'll actually get to see the sunrise because the sunrise is actually about 6:20.
Very good.
That's okay. Very bring good. Your headlamps.
Very good.
We'll be there at 6:19.
Then April 29th, we'll have a fifth Sunday for Gospel Sing and bring our best dish potluck. Then we also will have our regular service that morning. And then the singing from 11:30 to 12:30. And see Pastor or Joanne if you'd like to sing. Okay, and then 12:30 on, we'll have our meal. Any other announcements?
Joanne's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And I was talking with the Bible study committee, and we're going to, next week we're going to finish up Colossians. But we want to start a new series called The 12 Ultimate Questions. It's a very interesting, simple, but has a lot of meat to it. Talking about the fundamentals of the faith that sometimes aren't really fundamental. A lot of things you never consider. But it's really just a question and an answer from the Word of God with a discussion. So it'll be really good. So not this week, we're probably going to start the next Sunday.
Okay.
And it's by a guy named Blanchard. You can actually get it online and look at the ultimate questions.
And it's at, that's at 9 a.m.
Right.
Right. Okay, Terry?
Dwayne had a birthday this week.
She did. All the announcements will go on to prayer requests. We have quite a few. We have one for prayers for Joanne and Bill May. Bill is in the hospital with dementia, and Joanne, who's in the hospital battling the bugs with both of them. Prayers for Jack Baldina, for Phyllis, for James and Crystal, and healing prayers for Al Caleb, for Karen's hand and Karen's mom, and the doctors that treat them. Prayers for Bob and Judy, Alma and Charlie, and all who battle Parkinson's disease. Prayers for all our cancer warriors. Some new names, John Davenport, Lynn Green, Ashley Whitman, Jane's friend Nancy, Rich's brother and sister, Robin Bradbury, and her husband Trent. Also Roger Kerboy, who also has Parkinson's. Prayers for all our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren. Continued healing prayers for Art, for Barbara, for Grace, Cindy, Jeannie Smith, Trish, now her husband, Buck, Rich, Pat Haley, Jackie's brother Arthur, George Freeland, Kit, Alma, we already mentioned Phyllis, and Sandy Johnson. Any other prayer requests?
Yes.
Okay, Karen?
Our son Barry is going back to Honduras. This time he's bringing his oldest son. And they're leaving next month, but the unrest is worse now than it was when they went the first time. So they are asking for lots of prayer coverage.
Okay. Where is he going to again? I forget.
Honduras.
Honduras.
On a mission trip?
Yep.
Oh.
And that's Barry. And what's his son's name?
Cam.
Okay.
Kit has something.
Kit, yes.
Yeah, I ran into, in my Uber car, I ran into a young woman named Jennifer Ramirez, who is having gastric bypass on Wednesday, and she's very nervous about it. She is a devout Christian, and she's really scared, so just remember her.
Okay.
Jennifer Ramirez.
Okay.
And let's,
yeah.
I think everybody knows, I think we do anyway, but let's continue to lift up the 17 that were slain over in Florida, right. And Parkland. And also, I just heard on the news a 15-year-old actually, when the gun was coming through, he threw his body against the door, shut the door, and held it shut, got shot 4 times. Yeah. He lived. He's in surgery right now. So pray for him. He was a true hero, no greater love.
10-year-old?
He was, no, 14 or 15-year-old. Yeah. And he got shot 4 times. But he kept everyone in the room safe because he didn't come in there. What a blessing. What a praise that kid.
Courageous.
Yeah.
Give me a couple updates. George is home. Sue visited him up, and George is doing okay. Learning a new lifestyle and this type of thing, and keep George and Margo in prayer. And if you're out that way, stop in and say hello. George will be glad to see you. I talked to Cindy yesterday, and she and Grace are doing okay. They have the same concern that folks like Trish has. You know, you have Jack and Trish. Jack had the bug, actually wound up in the hospital. Trish was treated for whatever we prayed for before, and it compromised her immune system. So you've got folks like Grace and Trish that would come to service, but they're afraid with everything out there that's going on. But they're all, you know, they're well, and you know they're doing okay. Let's see, who else? And Al's doing okay, other than he's being bad this week.
Yes, he's talking
to me, so
he knows just fine.
Back to his old self.
Right?
Yeah, just let folks have a seat for a couple seconds.
You ever wonder where Lent came from? I do. I always thought it was something the Catholics made up, because you don't find it in the scripture anywhere. But before we come to church, I always watch Father Pesevich. He's from Agua. And Father Pesevich talked about Lent today. And he said that Lent started a long time ago when there were new members coming into the Catholic Church. That they would take the new members and they'd put them like in membership classes. And part of the membership class was the procedure of Lent. 40 days prior to Easter, Lent would start. They'd take all their new members, and for 40 days, they would have them get up and participate in the service. They'd have them do extra studies, and it was a chance for them, because they were becoming members. When you become a member, you still got the old. The old hasn't really gone away. You're just trying to figure out how to deal with it. But you're working on the new, same as we all are, continual work and process. But what the Catholics did was they would take those 40 days and take all their new members and kind of immerse them into the service and immerse them into a period of study and learning, and it grew into being Lent, which makes a whole lot more sense to me. I hate it when I don't know why we do a tradition. You know, I like to know. It's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, people ask you, you know, you're a Christian? Oh, yeah. And, you know, then you find out that you know more about the Red Sox than you do about being a Christian. And while the Red Sox are okay, I think you ought to know a lot about your faith. So I was interested. I hope that helped you out if you ever wondered along the way. But I like Lent. You know, I like the idea of 40 days of preparation for Easter where you get your little mind right. And if you're going to give something up, it's 40 days of regimentation on new lifestyle, going to the gym, giving up eating all that bad stuff that you eat or whatever. But get your mind in sync with your body so that you're ready for Easter.
It's about the amount of time you need to develop a good habit.
Anyway. Right. Yep. I forget how many days they say you got to do something.
It's about, it's about that.
Yeah. 17 times you have to do something before.
Yeah. So today's service is going to be interesting because I need the children's service to go along with the adult service, and we don't have children. So Karen's going to do her part on the children's service so that it blends in. So you're going to get a blessing of, you know, every week you get an extra long service. I generally try and tell you what I'm going to tell you. Then Karen delivers a similar message to the kids that Mrs. Jenny takes to the back. Then I tell you the message, and hopefully between all those stops along the way, you get something out of that. So that's what's going on today. We're preparing for Easter. And when you look at Easter, the role of the cavalry is an uphill walk. Jesus had things to accomplish and things to do before he got to Calvary. And along the way, we're going to talk about some scripture today that Jesus did some things and the people wanted to make him a king and it was too early and it wasn't time. So for Christ, the battle was uphill. Then later it was a battle into heaven, and later, because of the former, it'll be uphill for us. Uphill till we go home to be with God. Along the way, Jesus experienced plots, betrayals, denials, and gardens. But at the end, it'll be worth it all. Kind of like us. Along the way, there's bumps in the road. But every bump in the road is to sharpen your steel so that you're ready. Romans 8:18 says, "When I consider that our present sufferings are nothing compared with the glory that will be revealed to us." So as we prepare for service, our call to worship is 4:59. Call to worship with confession. 4:59. Open right up. 4:59. Call to worship with confession. Yep. I'll read the light part. Y'all read the dark. We are imperfect.
God is flawless.
We are in time.
God is eternal.
We are vulnerable.
God is unfailing.
We see problems.
God has plans.
God works in and through and around and in spite of us, accomplishing his aims even when he risks everything by letting us have part in his great enterprises.
In our weakness, we come to you, Father, asking that we may see our lives, our successes and failures, our trials and triumphs from your point of view. Amen.
Join with me in prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you for this glorious day. What a great day, Father. You've given us a touch of winter that's pure and white and clean and gives us a whole new perspective on what a great Lord that you are. And then you're going to bring us summertime this week, Lord. You're going to warm it up so that we get a taste of spring, and I'm ready. I've got my tie on with fish on it, Lord, and I'm ready. I'm ready to move in that spring season. I'm ready for the new flowers, the revival, and I'm ready for Easter, Father. I'm ready for a new beginning and a new start and a new do-over. We thank and praise you for this great nation that we live in. We thank you for the little towns that we live in where we can come together here and be bonded together one with another and with like-minded Christians around the globe as we recover from last week and prepare for this week, Father. We thank you and praise you that you never give us anything that's too hard for us to handle. We thank you and praise you for the opportunity to share our joys and our concerns with like-minded Christians. And Father, we gather together to be renewed and healed. And we gather in the prayer that your son Jesus taught us when he said,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Going to come forward in a minute and receive our morning offerings. And I was blessed this week. We went yesterday up to the soldier's home in Holyoke, and Elaine, if you got to follow along here, Elaine's brother, father-in-law, just went up there. And Henry's what, 92?
93.
Henry's 93. Mind functions pretty well. He remembers yesterday real well. He doesn't remember 20 minutes too well. He and I got a lot in common. But I went up there to be a support group, to be with Elaine's brother and sister in law. And we went up, I knew they had never been there. Been a while since I've been up to the VA up there. And so we went up and went and found Henry, and I visited with everybody along the way, same as normal. And took Henry out of his room and went downstairs. And then we began to work the folks that were there. Elaine, it's, you know, God's a good God. God gives you opportunity along the way, but you got to look for it. You got to actually go out and meet and greet people and shake some hands. So that's what we're doing. We got Henry down and the family's visiting with him, and we're walking around and I'm saying to folks, how long you been here? I've been here a week. How long here? Elaine comes across the guy and says to him and his wife, well, we're here, my brother, Henry, what's Henry's last name?
Matthew.
So we're just here with Henry Matthew. And the guy and his wife, had said, only been here for 2 weeks. But the guy sits up in the chair and he goes, Henry Matthew, I know him. He was the tree warden. Turned out the guy was a selectman in the next town over.
No.
Had only been there 2 weeks. So he didn't know where anything was too much. So to put the two of them together, and they started to have a conversation by themselves. And their recall is 2020. So now they've got stuff they can talk about.
Wow,
in the meantime, I wandered around and visited with other folks that had been there. And there was a whole slew of them that had only been there a week or 2 weeks. And they're all saying, well, you don't know what the activity is. So Elaine went and we looked till we found an activities board. We looked around till we found this. But God gives you the opportunity to share from your abundance here monetarily. But the opportunity to share from your abundance when you walk out that door, you can make a whole difference in somebody else's lives. And I want to share a little story with you here. It says, somebody wrote a few years back that a basketball in my hands is worth about $19. A basketball in Michael Jordan's hands or LeBron James is worth $176 million. A baseball in my hand worth probably $5. Put that same baseball into a major league pitcher's hand, now it's worth, I think the kid that played for the last year's Cubs, or last year's playoff team, signed with the Cubs for $178 million. Mm-hmm. The opportunity in our hands is priceless. Priceless. God took a stick and gave it to Moses and turned it into a staff that he could make water come out of a rock. Mm-hmm. Parted the Red Sea with it. God's going to give you tools in your toolbox. For me, most of the time, it's my voice. I always thought it was my good looks, but no. I guess that's not it. For me, it's my voice. It's the ability to reach out and network with people. For you, it's something different along the way. But you have that gift that you give every day to make a difference. Hit that lady that's going to have bypass surgery that was in your Uber. She may not be a believer, but I'm sure you gave her something to think about between the time that she got in and the time she got out. And that's a blessing, and that's sharing from your abundance. We'll now receive the morning offering. Father, each week we come and we return just a small portion of you. Because there's no way to measure how many blessings you've given us this past week, today, and each and every day that we get up and put our feet on the floor. We thank and praise you, Father, for each breath that we take, each opportunity that we have. We thank you for each day, Father, where you open your blessings to us, because we know as our prayers go up, the blessings come down. We ask, Father, that you bless these gifts as well as the giver, that you multiply, magnify, and utilize them in your work. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
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 Good
job. I'm going to give you the opportunity to pick up your Bible and turn to John 6, verses 1 through 14. John 6, verses 1 through 14.
After this, Jesus crossed over to the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. And a huge crowd, many of them pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem for the annual Passover celebration, were following him wherever he went, to watch him heal the sick. So when Jesus went up to the hills and sat down with his disciples around him, he soon saw a great multitude of people climbing the hill looking for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Philip, where are we going to buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "It would take a day's wages to do this." And Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and said, "There's a youngster here with 5 barley loaves and a couple of fish, but what good will that do with this mob?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus ordered. And all of them, the approximate count of the men only was 5,000, sat down on the grassy slopes. Then Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks to God and passed them out to the people. Afterwards, he did the same thing with the fish, and everyone ate until full. Now gathering the scraps, Jesus told the disciples, so that nothing is wasted. And there were 12 baskets filled with the leftovers. When the people realized what a great miracle had happened, they exclaimed, "Surely he is the prophet we've been expecting."
Well, I don't have 15 printed.
Okay. And if you follow along with 15, it says, "Jesus saw that they were ready to take him by force and make him their king. So he went higher into the mountains alone."
We keep on?
Okay.
Who do you think Jesus is?
He's the Son of God.
Yeah. God's Son.
Savior of the world.
What does it mean to be a Christian?
Love Jesus and each other.
Anyone else?
To be little Christ.
To be little Christ. What does it mean to be a little Christ?
To be like Jesus was, and as he taught, and he came to seek and save the lost, so we should have compassion, making a difference.
Did Jesus ever say to anyone, "You're not good enough"?
No.
Did he ever say to anyone, "I don't want you coming to my house"?
No.
Did he ever say anything negative to anyone other than, "You know, you're acting like a bunch of thieves in my Father's house"? He didn't, and yet that's what we do. Did he spend time alone with God?
Yes.
Do we do that enough? No. We cannot be Christ-like if we don't spend time with Christ to know exactly what Christ is like.
And to read his love letters.
Everybody reads that story. Everybody reads the story. But what they don't read is you don't compare the two scriptures. Book of John, that's the book of Matthew. Now, it says, how many people came, just men, and were seated?
5,000.
So the 5,000 men. Let's say there's 5,000 women. Now you got 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Were there kids there?
Yep.
Had to be. That's where they got the fish from. How many Christians were made that day? If you think they're all, you're wrong. Because when you go over and you look at the same scripture, and you go to Matthew 14. Yeah. You take a look in Matthew 14. This is why when you're a police officer and you do accident investigation, that you write down all the witnesses' statements, because you wind up with other things. And in Matthew 14, it talks about King Herod and John the Baptist. And in 14, what happens is John's arrested. John is Jesus' cousin.
That's right.
All right? They know each other from when they were kids. John's job was to go proclaim that Christ was coming. And so John gets locked up. Jesus knows John's in prison. And I really think that John thought Jesus was going to get him out. But Jesus sent him a message that basically said, you're doing good right where you are. Because John's disciples came to see Jesus. And so when you go to verse 10, chapter 14 and verse 10, that's the part where Herod made a promise to his wife's daughter. And he wanted John's head for a present for her birthday. And it says, so John was beheaded in prison, and his head was brought on a tray and given to the girl, who took it to her mother. Mm-hmm. Then the next verse says, then John's disciples came for his body and buried it and came to tell Jesus about it. Jesus had human emotions. If you remember Jesus and the widow, the widow with the child that had died and her husband was dead, and Jesus saw him and wept. Because Jesus was God and he knew the answer to the quiz ahead of time. But like us, we are frail human beings who have physical and mental emotions. Jesus, when he found out John had had his head taken off, I'm sure he knew that John was home with his father. But that Jesus was sad. And Jesus heard the news and he went off by himself in a boat to a remote area to be alone. Did you ever have a day where you really didn't want to talk to anybody? Mm-hmm. Where you really didn't want to see anybody? Where you just wanted to pull the blankie up over your head? And I got to tell you, most every day that happens, somebody comes, knocks on my door or gives me a phone call and there's something else going on, and you just got to suck it up and go on. And Jesus wanted to be by himself. But the crowd saw where he was and headed out and followed him by land for many villages. And when Jesus came out of the wilderness, a vast crowd was waiting for him, and he pitied them and healed their sick. Anytime God gives you a mission and you really don't want to do it, you don't think you're capable, God wouldn't give it to you if you weren't ready. God wouldn't give you the opportunity to serve and share the things that you have if you weren't ready. You don't have to wait until you're smarter. You don't have to wait for more information. What you need to do is just give it up and give it to God and march forward, knowing you'll be surprised sometimes the stuff that comes out of your mouth.
God will give you the ability.
God will give you the ability, because a lot of times you'll talk to folks and afterwards, you know, it's sermons that I do afterwards, people will say, geez, you did a really good job, but I can't honestly remember what I talked about on the way through. But so the disciples came, and Jesus is out there healing them and working with the sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, hey, it's past supper time. There's nothing for us to eat in the desert. Send the crowds away so they can go in the villages and buy food. But Jesus says to them, that isn't necessary. You feed them. And they exclaimed, we have exactly 5 small loaves and bread and 2 fish. Mm-hmm. So he brings them here, and he takes the people and has them sit down. Interesting, they had them all sit down. Mm. You know, he said, you know, because they're all around him wanting to heal him. He said, y'all go sit down. Y'all go sit down. That way we can do this and everybody can see. We can do this and everybody can share. And the scripture is exactly identical. They break up the fish and loaves, and about 5,000 men in the crowd besides all the women and children. Immediately after this, Jesus told his disciples to get in a boat and cross to the other side of the lake, while he stayed to get the people started home. Then afterwards, he went up on the hill to pray. Night fell and on the lake, and the disciples were in trouble. Jesus walks on the water. Mm-hmm. Jesus walks on the water. He walks on the water and reawakens the disciples' faith. teaching the disciples, if you want to walk on the water, you got to get out the boat. You got to get out the boat. You got to put your faith above anything else that matters. You got to walk where you don't think you can walk. You've got to talk when you don't think you can walk. And God will give you the ability to walk on that water or walk through the fire. And so they go over there and the disciples are awestruck. They arrive, and quickly their arrival spread throughout the land. And everybody went and got their sick to get healed. And everybody went and got, you know, all their folks together and came. And later in the epistle, Jesus talks to his disciples. And he says to them, a lot of these folks are just coming because I fed them. A lot of folks are coming just because I fed them. A lot of folks are coming hoping to be healed, but a lot of them are just coming because I fed them. And then he gives them the verse that we all need to hear. And that was the verse I wanted the kids to hear. The verse that says, blessed are those that have seen, but really blessed are those that believe and have not seen.
Amen.
Because that's us. That's us. We haven't seen, but we believe. We believe and because we're filled with the Scripture, we're filled with the Spirit. And God takes us just as we are. Now, Karen asked you a question about, you know, does God eliminate anybody? God likes them all. That's why God called Paul to come, because nobody was giving the message to the Gentiles. Said, Paul, come on, I got a job for you. I need you to come. But it's, you know, it's interesting that Jesus has got his own stuff going on. His cousin John's been beheaded. He knows that the Pharisees and Sadducees are chasing him. And yet there's always these people. Always these people that are needy. And Jesus says to his disciples at one point, blessed are the poor, for they will be with us always. So you may think we've got a social program that's going to help everybody out. Jesus wasn't talking about physically poor. Talking about poor in spirit, poor in, you know, poor in physical strength, poor in mental strength. Jesus will give you the ability and the edge if you're one of his children along the way. But you're not going to go out and cure the whole world, because Jesus says the poor is going to be with you always. Folks get worried about going to war. I remember when North Korea started to act up, and, you know, that's calmed down now. It's nice that we got the Olympics and the North and South Koreans are getting together. But something else will light up, and people will get all their clothes up, tied up in a bunch, and they'll be all upset and excited, but they forget to read the back that Jesus said there will be wars and rumors of wars till I come again. Save your worry for the important things. Save your worry for the important things. If you're not going to stop the war, you're not going to cause world peace, you're not going to make all the poor people rich, you're not going to heal all the sick. You're going to heal some of them, but you can heal a lot of them just by sharing your faith with them. Because the faith will cause them to rise up and go to a new level. On his way to the cross, Jesus encounters a lot of things. He could have got sidetracked by the crowd that says, we want to make you our king now. Let's start a riot. Let's make a king now. He said, no, I got check marks that got to be done. That's how you can be sure that Jesus is our Savior, God's Son, and the only one. Because he's the only one that hit every check mark right on the head. Everything that was supposed to happen in the New Testament, from being born to going to the cross, Jesus hits every prophecy of Isaiah,
Amen.
Prophecy from the Psalms, prophecies from all the Old Testament. Jesus carries them forward. So you should never doubt. You should always be that warrior. You know, folks want to ask why. I ask why not. I don't need to know how many, you know, how long a day was when God created the world. God said it was a day, I'm good. I don't need to know. I don't need to know how Jesus raised him from the dead. I know he did. It says he did. There were witnesses. I'm good with that. Jesus dies. crucified, put in the tomb, he arose. How do I know? The disciples saw him, the disciples talked to him, and if you read the whole New Testament, you'll find out the historians, not just Jewish historians, but historians from all the other civilizations in that area, recorded that Jesus Christ, a prophet, had been crucified and had been reported sightings all over the area. Jesus appears to multitudes of people around. So it's not all fairy tale and things that people have dreamed up. The 40 days to the cross is time of preparation. Like I said, I like Lent. I like Lent a lot. It's a time for you to get your little mind right on the road to the cross. It's the time to take your family and gather your family together. And it's a time for possibilities and new beginnings.
Yeah.
You know, this time of year we got a little snow out there. That's sugar snow. That's poor man's fertilizer, right, Stu? Isn't that what they used to call that stuff? Give that freak snowstorm.
That's right.
Everybody be out whining, and you know the folks that farm for a living will be outside, and they say, that's poor man's fertilizer, brother. Poor man's fertilizer going to help the ground to grow better crops this next year. So the message is multiple-fold with the feeding of the 5,000. When you run into folks that have a need, don't send them away. Don't send them away. Feed them. Give them the food that you have, the food that never spoils, the food that never goes bad, the food that is nourishing and will restore them physically, mentally, and restore their soul.
Bread of life. Amen.
So, as we move through this service, at the bottom I gave you Romans 8:18. It says, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. In us. A lot of people read that and they say, that says to us. It doesn't say that. God's glory has been revealed to you now. Other people are going to see the glory in us. They may not ever see the face of Jesus. They may not feel his touch, but they're going to see and feel you. When the rest of the world is in despair and you don't have the despair, when everybody else's glasses have empty, yours should be half full because you know the truth. You know the truth. And I pray that as you read the bad news in the newspaper, that you read the good news in the basic instructions before leaving Earth, that you surround yourself. Because I got a clue for you. On your TV that has that bad news, has a whole bunch of folks. Charles Stanley, Joel Osteen. There's always a good news. And if you haven't got time for it, go on your computer. You can scream Franklin Graham. You can scream a lot of other folks. I don't know which speaker tripped your trigger, but if you can't find one, you're not trying. You're not trying. Can't find anything else? Log on our podcast. You get to hear me over again.
Amen.
You know, that's it. You know, it's just one of those things where there's no excuse for being, you know, people say, I have depression. You know, I'm depressed. You just ain't trying. You just ain't trying.
You don't have to do anything to be depressed. Just act naturally.
That's it. You know, there's no reason to be depressed. You know the answer to the quiz. Greater is he that's in me that is in the world. 2 Corinthians verse 4, 17 and 18. It says, for our light and momentary problems are achieving us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all.
Amen.
So we fix our eyes on what is seen, but not on what is seen, but is on what is unseen.
Amen.
For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And all God's people said,
amen.
We're going to sing 445. I'm going to skip down to the end. We're going to do Just As I Am Without One Plea, because I want to do all the verses.
Amen.
I want to do all the verses. And anybody that needs prayer, go out to the end of your aisle, come out up front, do whatever. I'd be glad to pray with you. The deacons will pray with you. But rejoice in the day, because this truly is the day that the Lord has made. 445.
A high-speed, low-drag, Teflon-coated fighting machine for you, Lord.
Yes.
We'd like you to lift us up, make us more than we ever thought that we could be.
Yes.
Help us to be an impact player wherever we can affect people's lives.
Yes.
Walk with us. Help us. Help us to take these 40 days that are left before Lent, and help us to be better, bigger, and stronger in faith moving forward, gathering folks that haven't seen the light. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said,
Amen.